What's up, gamers? Welcome to Battle Mallet Podcast, episode 65, the 7-year scritch. For anyone that isn't familiar, the Battle Mallet Podcast is the journey of three busy gamers making their way to the Nova Open Convention every year, playing games that they love and balancing life with those games. My name is Jared Johnson, and tonight I am joined by Jason Tableau Murray.
Has it really been 7 years already?
7 years already. Well, I mean, not technically. I mean, the calendar year has been 7 years, yes.
This came out in 2017.
2017.
Good. Wow. I've been playing this a long time.
A long time, yeah. Really feeling that 7-year scritch, huh?
I am. It's itchy. Yep.
Well, you have already 7 years scritched away, Mr. Lorcana. But anyway, so in tonight's episode, we are going to be giving our standard Rivals review of Spikeclaw's Swarm. So we'll walk through the deck. We'll give you our top choices for objectives, gambits, and upgrades that you want to see early in the game. And these episodes are being recorded out of order. Fun fact.
Fun fact. So if you want to know what you've been up to, go to the next episode.
Yep, because we've basically been up to nothing other than what we already talked about. We will repeat that we will have a pending episode regarding the new errata and FAQ and the impact that we think it will have both locally and maybe we'll talk about the meta broadly. But I think that's it. Anything else to talk about before we jump in?
I would just, random thought.
Do it.
Your new X-Men 97, like, how are you liking that? Because I know you're a huge fan when you're
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's like one of the best television shows that's come out in a while.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, is that a low bar? Maybe. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing. There is a ton of it that is nostalgia-esque, but there's a lot, like they're doing a lot really well. I think they are telling tight stories. I was talking with my brother about this and actually Danny too. I really wish the episodes were about 40 minutes total. It feels like if they had 10 more minutes to tell stories that they could flesh out the episodes a little bit more, like go into some more depth with the stories, but they do a really good job for running like the 23-minute, 30-minute, like Saturday morning cartoon runtime and still telling compelling stories. Like there've been a couple of episodes that like I've gotten fairly emotional over, without any spoilers, but
yeah, that's awesome.
I've enjoyed it. Yeah.
I'm glad you're liking it.
Yeah. Speaking of really sad things, I was doom scrolling today and realized that after the last episode of The Last Batch airs, that's probably going to be the last of the prequel content that we get.
Like, I just saw a trailer today for May the 4th. They're coming out with like an Empire stories.
Yeah, but the Tales from the Empire, right? But those are going to be short stories, like, but that's the Empire. Like, that's the real Empire, not the prequels. Like, this will be the last of the Clone Trooper stories. That just hit you.
I mean, maybe. Like, I guess the timeline gets really confusing to me.
Yeah.
Because I've watched it out of order. So to me, it's all Star Wars. So yeah, I guess you're right. Like, and I've enjoyed the Bad Batch. It's a good little cartoon. Although you're probably way further ahead than I am. So
yeah, I mean, I'm caught up. So there's what, like three more episodes, I guess. Anyway. Wow,
cool.
We're a TV podcast now. Hooray!
Yeah. With Star Wars, it's kind of relevant.
Yeah, there's a game.
X-Men.
X-Men's relevant, right? I got all those models painted. And more stuff's coming out. Anyway, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about Spikeclaw Swarm. Yes, yes. And we're back, and we are here to cover Spikeclaw Swarm, giving our Rivals review. We'll go through the fighter cards in brief, and then we'll spend most of our time talking about the objectives, gambits, and upgrades that you want to see early in your games as you are playing the Warband. So, this warband, Five Fighter warband. I think the most remarkable thing, and I basically say this every time we talk about this warband, is that they are all move five uninspired, which is just insanely fast.
It's a lot of movement.
Like, it's a lot. Aren't any other warbands that, I mean, the other Skaven, right? Skittershank, they're all move five. But other than that, like, even like Garrick's Reavers, they have to inspire to go to move five. I think some of the elf warbands inspire to move five, but to just all have all of your fighters at move five out the gate. I remember when they launched, it was like, oh, this is like Garrick's Reavers, but better. Mostly because back then Scritch was the greatest. Yes, yes. He's still really good.
That he was.
Anyway, so we have Scritch Spiteclaw. He is a leader. Move five, two dodge, four wounds, range two, two smash, two damage. He has the swarm action, and this is choose a friendly minion that is out of action. Place the chosen fighter on an empty starting hex. So not an empty starting hex in your territory, but any empty starting hex. And then he also has the schemer ability. Range one or range two attack actions made by this fighter that are supported by one or more friendly minions have crit grievous one. And then he and the rest of the warband inspire the same way. This fighter is chosen as the target of a ploy. So it has to have the choose keyword in the ploy. And it is a ploy, not a spell. So Gambit spells will not inspire them. But when he inspires, he gains cleave on his attack. And he also gains a scything attack that is 3 fury, 1 damage with crit grievous 1. So that could spike to crit grievous 2 if you got all those supports. And then we have Crick, the almost trusted, the second in command, the trusty, not so trusty, second in command. Move 5, 1 block. He also is range 2, 2 smash, 2 damage. And he has the Crick rules now ability. Reaction, use this after a friendly Scritch is taken out of action. Draw 2 power cards.
Yeah, when he is inspired, it's draw 3. That's really cool.
Yeah. And then Crick leads. While a friendly Scritch is out of action, this fighter is a leader. And then he also has the schemer ability. And then his big change is that he goes to 2 dodge when he inspires. And then Jason, as you called out, he gets to draw 3 power cards if Scritch is taken out of action. Yeah, so those are the two kind of big, the beefier of the rats. And then we have the 3 minions, the lurking, the festering, and the hungering Skaven. They're all move 5, all 2 wounds. The lurking starts at 2 dodge. Festering starts on 1 dodge. The hungering with the shield starts on 1 block. He stays on 1 block. Festering inspires to 2 dodge. Their attacks are nothing worth really writing home about. Uninspired. So lurking and festering are 2 fury, 1 damage. Hungering is 1 smash, 1 damage, but it is scything. So you got that going for you. But when they inspire, lurking goes to 3 fury, 1 damage, and he also gains a shuriken attack action. So range 3, 2 fury, 1 damage. And then festering's wicked dagger goes to 3 fury with crit grievous 1. And hungering Skaven's flail goes to 2 smash and retain scything. So that's the fighters. Pretty straightforward. Yeah,
They are straightforward, but there's some hidden, not hidden, but like just the supporting Grievous.
Yeah.
I think could be very, very interesting. And that the additional range attack, with the kind of Ninja Star-esque.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays into.
Yeah.
To lurking.
Yeah. Cause normally he's the one that you put out front because he's on 2 dodge, but it might be worth keeping him back. Or you inspire him and you just let him throw ninja stars.
Yeah.
From the front line early on. I think it definitely opens up some more options. Yeah, I think it's cool that they can bring fighters back. And we won't talk about this upgrade, but there is an upgrade that allows other fighters to bring minions back. If Scritch is taken out of action. So you're not completely hopeless, but you are dependent on that upgrade. Anyway, That is not one of the upgrades that we have chosen that you want to see early. Browbeater. Thank you, sir. And it's not just for Crick, if I'm not mistaken.
It's Minion or him.
Minion. Yeah, cool. Anyway, we didn't pick that one because you don't want to rely on that card. You definitely don't want to see it early because that means that you're planning on Scritch going out of action, which is just sad.
Don't get rid of the best.
We're going to talk about the objectives that you want to see early. Jason, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, so there's going to be kind of a theme through here in turn one. We're kind of going to rely on those minions and hopefully come in with a big attack at the end or beginning of round two. So my first one is going to be standing out. Score this immediately after a friendly minion makes a successful attack action. Uninspired, it may be a little difficult.
Yeah.
With one hitting on one hammer and then two hitting on two fury. We have some tech that could help us.
Yeah. I mean, and once you get inspired, it becomes a lot more reasonable to get to land one successful attack action by one of your minions. Yep. So speaking of inspired minions, the next one that we would like to see early is send in the next wave. And this is a surge. Score this immediately after an inspired friendly minion is taken out of action. So this basically offsets the fact that you have thrown a minion into dangerous territory, hoping to land that successful attack action. So it's a net zero when it comes to the glory because they went out of action, but you gained a glory for the objective. And then what's last, Jason?
The last one is Vermintide. It's a dual. Score this in an end phase. There are one or more surviving friendly fighters in enemy territory, and there are more surviving friendly fighters than surviving enemy fighters. The key here is, okay, so you have to have more surviving than your enemy. Later in the game, that's probably not going to happen. So with five fighters, you can kind of hedge your bets that you're going to have more fighters. And if you don't, you're probably playing against a Horde Warband, which then this Warband can actually deal enough damage to deal with Hordes. So if you send it in and your plan goes perfectly, you go in, you inspire a fighter, you go in and you attack, you score standing out, then they get bopped back when you send in the next wave, then hopefully your last activation, you can maybe resummon this fighter into enemy territory and score Vermintide.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, go last, and you get the chance to just drop an inspired rat on a starting hex in enemy territory. I like it. Seems like a good strategy. On the Gambit side, we'll start here. And so we mentioned before that the inspire condition is this fighter is chosen as the target of a ploy. So shock of shocks, we are choosing ploys that choose fighters. You want to get inspired as early as you can with this warband. And so the first one that we picked was Musk of Fear. Choose a friendly fighter, give the chosen fighter one guard token. So not only have you inspired a fighter probably to two defense dice, RIP Hungering Skaven, but you've also significantly increased their defensive capabilities by putting them on guard. So now they count blocks as defense and they can't be driven back.
Yes. But I'm going to up you one more because I think these two like tie together. You have the Musk of Fear and then Nervous Scrabbling. Choose two fighters that are adjacent to each other, one or more of which needs to be a friendly fighter. Place each fighter in the hex that was occupied by the other when you chose them. Or when you choose them. So you're inspiring two fighters.
Yep.
And that's... We want to pick a board that has two hexes right next to each other.
Yep.
We probably want to have Scritch and a minion
next to each other.
Next to each other. Or you could do Kirk. Yep. But probably
you want the minion because you want standing out.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to pick the minion.
Yep.
Right. And I'm going to flip their positions. Then I'm going to send that minion across the board and say, adios, muchachos.
Yep.
But now Scritch is inspired. They're inspired. And then I can use Musk of Fear on Kirk or somebody else like that I need to survive.
Right.
And then I have three, like within the first power step, I could have three fighters inspired.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Sounds good. So, the last one we want to see, another choose. This is Swift Skitter. You can play this card, only play this card in your power step. Choose a friendly fighter with no move or charge tokens. The chosen fighter makes one move action. Give the fighter one charge token. So, this would be a good way to force a friendly fighter into enemy territory in the final power step if you go last, or to really force your opponent's hand. You know, if they're going to go last, you know, maybe you send an well, you've inspired this fighter, so now you can send them in and score a send in the next wave.
I'm probably going to use it after turn my activation three.
Yep.
I've already now on activation three, I sent my lone minion that was inspired across to try to get a successful attack action. I'm then going to do the Swift Skitter going into my opponent's turn four.
Yep.
Right. And I run the other one and I stand next to the same fighter. So I have two fighters standing next to another enemy fighter. And I make them make a choice on who they're going to attack. Because then in my fourth activation, I can try to come across with the greatest yes, yes.
Yep.
And get the Crit Grievous.
I like it.
That's just
a good strategy.
And I then score all the things. And if they kill my fighter and I need to position them, I cannot attack and bring a fighter back. Lots of options. I really like those three cards.
Yeah.
It would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
Would be. Because, like, then I'm going to use this glory to use some of these sweet upgrades.
Yeah. You want to walk us through the first one?
The first one I'm going to pick, and this one, it's tasty, but it has a setback, right?
Yep.
I love Murder Skaven, so I want Chaos Tainted Blades. It is an attack action, range one, three fury, two damage. And here's the juiciness. It has cleave and ensnare.
Spicy.
Spicy. But it is also tainted because it is chaos.
Yep.
So during this attack action, after the deal damage step, deal one damage to this fighter.
Oops.
But, you know, I'm probably going vulnerable. It's okay. There is always more, so it's fine.
Yeah. You could actually use that to score or send in the next wave because the inspired friendly minion does not have to be taken out of action by an enemy attack action.
So. Oh, so run through a lethal,
run through
the attack,
make the attack
after the deal damage step. I die and score. Oh, geez,
yep.
Man.
Yep. And then they can come right back.
Could they?
They could.
They could.
Yep. You know, it would be even better.
What?
Is if that minion was completely expendable. So this is the next upgrade that we want to feature. This fighter has no bounty.
Wow.
The next time this fighter is taken out of action, break this card. So, you know.
It's so a one use only.
One use only, but no bounty.
No bounty.
So
that's
good.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, you could also go with the Sewer Whisperer, right? And I think this one goes on one of our leader folk, like a Scritch. So.
Yep.
Or Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk.
No, it's Captain Kirk.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Good. During this fighter's attack action, if you rolled one or more successes, add one success to the number of successes you rolled. When you're already rolling two dice on hammers with support, I want another die.
Yeah.
And that's all. If I roll one success, it's two.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful.
I mean, the chances of rolling one smash or crit on a two dice attack is you got a 75% chance of rolling at least one.
At least one.
So that at least one has now become two. And one of those successes could be a crit. So now you've got a crit and a normal success.
It's pretty good.
Yep.
It's pretty good. And if you put it on, if you have to use it on one of your minions and you're rolling the three fury, that's even spicier.
Yeah.
I really like that card. It's the first time we've seen that mechanic that I can recall where you're adding success.
Yeah, I think there were some gambits. I think there's one somewhere where if you're tied, you get to add one.
Yes. But it was like a weird.
yeah
thing.
Anyway, it's also not in this deck, so we don't need to talk about it.
That's good.
We got people listening, screaming at us right now, telling us the name of the upgrade, and that's great. Somebody comment. Somebody message us on Discord and tell us how badly we failed by forgetting the name of that card. Can we talk about the card art and the flavor text for Sewer Whisperer?
I mean, it's a lot of rats.
It is like a swarm of rats, and then some Skaven have an uncommon ability to get their lesser kin to battle upon their behalf, covering the battlefield in a tide of matted, stinking bodies. So the image that is being evoked here is that, like, it's not like this fighter has become more accurate. They are just covering you in a swarm of rats, and that's what's making the attack go through. Like, that's what's actually dealing the damage. It's pretty horrifying.
I mean, sure, if you're afraid of rats.
Well, I mean, I'd be afraid of these rats.
Not me.
Well, I mean, you're the Amos to my quiet Pock. So
the rats just want to be loved, man.
I don't know. Well, you're just swinging away with your whatever woodchopper's strength or whatever.
Woodcutter's strength.
No.
I'm Lenny.
Oh, all right. play style. I'm going to give this one to you, Jason, because I think you actually you gave it the right name.
I forgot what name I give it. Some sort of, like, you know, yeah, something aggro.
Yep. Selective aggro.
Yeah, there you go. Selective aggro. Can't remember. I can't remember these things.
No, you have selective memory.
I do. Yeah, selective aggro. So because they are two wound fighters, and I've stated this plenty of times in the past, you have to pick and choose when you're going in. I think we've given you a great line on the opening gambits and opening objectives as to how you should sacrifice your rats. Remember, there is always more, but it is very hard to overcome the glory bleed that your three two wound fighters are going to give up. You are heavily reliant on that two defense dice. So you have to be selective when you go in, but they're murder Skaven. And I think it'll become very evident of what I'm thinking when we talk about our nemesis pairing, but don't just always be charging. Select when you're going to charge and make sure you're inspired.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And so the one thing to consider is that you do have the swarm action from Scritch. There is the gambit Plenty More, which is a gambit that lets you bring a minion that's out of action back onto the battlefield. And then there is the upgrade Browbeater, which lets minions and Crick bring other minions back. So you have options for returning the fighters, but they will bleed glory. Jason, you talked about this a little bit when it comes to boards. I think because of Nervous Scrabbling, you want to make sure that you have at least two adjacent starting hexes. If you can have two sets of two adjacent starting hexes, I don't know that there are many boards that have that. And that'll give you some options for your Nervous Scrabbling in that, you know, to try to get that off. The Worm Burrow.
I mean, Glacial Tomb. Is
oh my gosh.
My new favorite board.
It is. Well, it's the prettiest board in the game, in my opinion. And it is a really good board just in general. So, even Frostwrack Ruins, you're either going to have two people really far back or two people really far up. But that one's got two sets of two adjacent starting hexes.
Yeah. And you don't mind the cover hex, right?
Yeah. Definitely don't hate a cover hex from these fighters.
I mean, you could totally go the Glacial Graveyard and, like, not forecast, like, to your opponent who you're going to inspire, because you're going to have three.
True, with the three, yeah.
But those stagger hexes.
But if you've got somebody coming in, that's exactly what you want, right? To not have to put yourself out there to land your attacks.
And
with Crick and Scritch
range two, range poking two over the top.
Yeah, yep.
Maybe. That's a maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. It would not be my first choice.
No.
But anyway, What do you do? I sit down with the Skaven across from you, Jason. What are you doing to undermine my scheme plan?
I think the plan has always been to take out the greatest. Yes. And if you present Scritch, I'm going after you. He's a little less scary now that, you know, he's just two with cleave and two damage.
Yeah.
But he is kind of the heart and soul of the warband. I really like the design that gives Kirk, other tools, but at three wounds, I'm going Kirk if he's there, and then Scritch, but Scritch is the one that's doing the heavy lifting. So,
yeah.
And then, if you're not going to inspire, like if I have a juicy festering or huggering just kind of out there on a flank at two wounds on a single defense dice, yeah, I'm gobbling them up.
Yep. Maybe doing even it. Gobbling them up with gobble luck.
Gobble the gook.
All right. So when it comes to nemesis pairings, we have two. So my pick would be Fearsome Fortress, and I've played a couple of games with a Fearsome Fortress deck that I'm kind of tweaking with them when I have the chance to play it. And really what it lets you do is take advantage of some of the hold feature token, beyond feature token capabilities of the Fearsome Fortress deck. It also gives you two attack action upgrades, which the minions love, right? The Mason's Great Hammer and Star Maw are both really good for the minions. And then Stagger, right? All of the Stagger tech that is in the Fearsome Fortress deck is really good, especially if you're fishing for those Schemer supported Crit Grievous ones. So, and then what do you like, Jason?
I'm Murder Skaven. I'm coming at you. I like Breakneck Slaughter. The reason I like it is because of the Hurricane Darts, the Lance, and I want to say there was one more. No, might have been in my own. Yeah. So those two like gives me two more weapon upgrades. I already have two weapon upgrades in my Rivals deck from my Warband. I also love the additional damage.
Yes.
Right. So Devastating Charge. Yes, please. Plus one damage. I already have an in-faction plus one damage.
Yep.
I don't really care about the momentum counters. And if you stagger me, I have Fear Musk. Like I can give myself a guard token and take that stagger away. I just think there's a lot of really good cards, like plus one dice, minus one damage. Yeah, I'm ready to fly in and tumble and slide and do everything around. And good luck keeping me away from you with six move.
Yeah, or more.
Or more.
Yeah. Cool. I think that's a good choice. I think it would be fun. New player rating.
I'm giving him a silver.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm giving him a silver is because the two wound fighters. Like,
yeah.
Your first couple games, you're gonna lose fighters, and you're gonna be like, "Wow, they just bleed glory. What do I do? Oh my goodness!" Like Scritch missed because he is the greatest, and he's really good at missing. So, yes. They're gonna be fun. Like I do, out of all the Mirrored City warbands. Obviously, Molag is my favorite, and the rats would come in a close second.
Yeah.
I wish there was a deck that had even more weapons, but it's fine. Because remember, those weapons that stay and you bring them back, you're gaining activations.
Right. Yeah. The Inertial Lance, you put it on a missile, and you can bring the missile right back. And now you're a threat range of 7. It's pretty good.
Yeah, because his return doesn't give him any. Yeah, there's no tokens that they get. And then what about the?
So the Browbeater gives them either a move or a charge. But I mean, you give them a move token, and I mean they can still attack.
And then plenty more Empty hex and not an objective give that fighter one move or charge token, so you can do whatever you need to do there. You can give them a move,
yeah,
and they can still attack, whether that's 4, 2, 3 yeah. away. There's push tech
yeah.
in the deck. Like, it's
yeah
we're good.
And so I do want to say that if you give Kirk Browbeater, the chosen minion does not get a charge token.
Oh, okay.
So if Kirk is the one bringing them back, then you can bring him back on any empty hex, not on an objective. So it's almost better than...
If this fighter is not Kirk, give this fighter one charge. Oh, no, give the person sighted. So yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So the person summoning gets the charge token. The other, the chosen one doesn't get a token either way.
And I actually like that better. Like, that's to be honest, I'm probably going to put that because, like, Scritch has put him on a starting hex, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could, like, put this on. It does not state that he has to be the leader, right? Nope.
Yeah, so you can just put it on him.
Put it on him, and then if you do need to bring somebody back, you use this one, and it can be on an empty hex that is just not an objective.
Yeah.
That's pretty... Wow, look at that.
Yeah. And then my mind just went down a rabbit hole. You could go with the masks and do what Maskborn or whatever it is.
You could.
Bring back Crook. He takes the action to bring back a minion. Or bring back Scritch. Scritch takes the action to bring back a minion. Kirk's inspired. So now you draw 3 power cards.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just definitely a lot of play here. Again, like, the biggest thing would be getting damage and getting hits. Like, they're murder scaven for a reason. They do like objectives too. Like, they like that play style, kind of like an end phase scoring. I'm happy that they're back. Happy to see them on the table. But Beauty and the Beast will just slaughter them, so it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's Scanner Kenner, a big fan of 2 wound fighters. Melmorn, also a fan of 2 wound fighters, but probably going to get outmaneuvered by 5 move. As Velmorn. So, anyway, I think that's it. So, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. And we're back, and that will wrap up this, the 65th episode of the Battle Mallet podcast. Really scratching that 7-year scritch here.
I still can't believe it's been 7 years.
Yeah, it's so wild. Here's to 7 more.
Drink to that.
Yeah. So as always, we want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen. Please be sure to subscribe or follow in whatever app or platform you're using to listen to the podcast. We are Battle Mallet 1 on X. We are Battle Mallet PCast on Instagram, Battle Mallet Podcast on Facebook. We are at Battle Mallet Podcast on YouTube. And then for anyone that has been using Google Podcast, I think that just got sunsetted, and now everything is on YouTube Podcast, but I've gotten that configured and set up so the episode should auto-publish to YouTube Podcast. So you can listen to it there, but most people, based on our analytics, are listening from either iTunes or from Podbean or Pocket Casts, I believe.
Way to go, Tech Wizard.
Ah, no, that's me. Data. It's good stuff. So just keep your ear out for a pending episode regarding the new Errata Designer's Commentary. We also need to put out an episode around what we'll be doing at Nova to talk about that. And then
spoiler, playing games and not balancing life with those games.
No balance, no game life balance, just pure gamage.
There we go.
Yeah, so for the Battle Mallet podcast, I'm festering.
I'm hungering.
And I guess Trace be lurking away. That's a fun story that everyone will hear later.
Yep.
This is Jared signing out.
And I'm Jason Table New Murray. Get the hell out of here.
Peace.
Battle Mallet Podcast is protected under the Creative Commons license. If you have further questions as to its use, you can find more information via links on podcast.battle-mallet.com. Music by Anno Domini Beats.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. We are.
All right. This is episode 65. The last one was episode 66.